Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time. Dig out the truth written between the lines. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
Joining us today on the line for her story number 16 is Eloise Baddick. Eloise is the Director of Exhibitions Research and Development at the Indiana Historical Society, where she's been part of the exhibits team since 1998. She holds a BA in History and an MA in Public History from Indiana University and has worked at the Indianapolis Museum of Art, the Children's Museum of Indianapolis, and the Indiana State Museum. She's also a founding board member and performer with Bottoms Up Burlesque, Inc. To learn more about Eloise, you can follow her on Twitter at ElouiseEve. That's ElouiseEve. Eloise, welcome to the show.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
And which woman in history have you chosen to share with us today?
Well, I am very honored to talk today about the life and career of Mary Pickford. She is actually a Canadian-born actress. She was born in Canada and was born on April 8th, 1892, so this coming Sunday would be her 120th birthday. She was born into a very poor family, and her father died at a very young age of alcohol-related complications, and so her family was really struggling to look for ways to make ends meet. So her mother encouraged her children to get jobs in the traveling theater. It was one way in which kids could kind of help bring in income for the family. So Mary and her siblings ended up getting jobs in traveling theater productions. Mary proved to be quite adept on stage and began to see a sense of a career path for herself. So she soon traveled to New York and demanded a meeting with David Belesco, who was certainly at the time the legendary owner of Broadway for all practical purposes. And she demanded an audience with him and made a case for herself as being an actress. Now, mind yourself, she is 7 years old at the time. He decides to hire her and gives her a job in a Broadway production, which she is wonderful in. However, when that production ends its run, she is once again out of work, which is, of course, very stressful for the family. So her mother, who becomes a very active character in Mary's life, her mother's name is Charlotte, encourages Mary to think about maybe getting a job in this new industry that everybody's talking about, which is film. And so they travel to meet with D.W. Griffith, who was a very famous director of his day, most well-known for being the director of Birth of a Nation. And Mary convinces him to hire her for some of his early film productions. At the time, film productions are very different from how they are today. Directors were cranking out 3 to 5 films a week. It took about 2 to 3 days to film a picture, and they lasted about 15 to 20 minutes. So it was possible for an actor to build up a repertoire a lot more significant than they are today because of the length of modern films. Mary goes on to make a number of films with D.W. Griffith. They're incredibly successful. And along the way, she earns herself the title of being America's sweetheart. So Mary Pickford, for all practical purposes, is the very first American Hollywood celebrity. She becomes very famous. All of her fads, all of her likes, all of her romances are all heavily profiled in the press. And she's very beloved. She becomes an actress who is very interested in taking more creative control over her own career and over her own product, and she drives a hard bargain. Together with her mother, they negotiate a series of raises and some very, very innovative avenues of control for Mary over the products that she gets involved with. She ends up leaving D.W. Griffith and forms a very famous partnership with Adolph Zukor, who is known as the founder of Paramount Pictures. And together they begin to make these films that are much longer in length, much more complex in plot, and over which Mary has a much more significant amount of control than any other woman operating at the time in Hollywood. In particular, she makes in 1914 tests of the storm country, which sends her celebrity into the stratosphere. At this point, she and Charlie Chaplin are the two most recognizable film figures in all of the world. At this point, Mary embarks on a very high-profile relationship with the equally famous actor Douglas Fairbanks. She divorces very scandalously her first husband, who's sort of a no-good, alcoholic, abusive character in her life, and gets married to Douglas Fairbanks, and they become the modern celebrity couple of the moment. They're followed everywhere. It's this wild paparazzi scene wherever they go. They're very active in the World War I Liberty Bond raising campaigns and get to travel the world together. She continues to make films, and at this point is getting a little bit frustrated by some ceilings that she's hitting in terms of creative control over her own projects. So together with her husband and Charlie Chaplin and D.W. Griffith, they form in 1919 United Artists, which is incredibly significant because not only is it the first company owned by actors and directors to have creative control over Hollywood product, but Mary is also at this point unequivocally the most powerful business player, female, in the Hollywood industry. And she really begins to have a vision for the films that she can produce. She takes full ownership of the film she's involved in. She hires the writers, the directors, the actors, the costumers, the cinematographers. She will fire you on a dime if you are not living up to her standard, but she'll pay top dollar for you if she thinks that you can contribute to the project. And she really does make a brand for herself in terms of the films that she's in. She struggles quite a bit because she builds this reputation as America's good girl. She's known for playing these little girl roles where although she's in her 20s, she's playing, you know, 10, 11-year-old girls, building off of her image as this angelic, young, innocent actress working. She's very well known for her incredibly long, curly, beautiful blonde hair. So whenever she tries to break out of that role, out of that mold, which she very much wants to do, she's met with a bit of resistance. And some of the edgier films that she tries to produce are not as successful. In a heartbreaking incident, she takes out an ad in a popular magazine and asks her fans to write her and tell her the types of movies they want to see her in. And they unanimously write back that they like her in these little girl roles. So she's a little bit crushed. Also at the time, she's having to deal with the fact that Hollywood is transitioning from silent film into sound. Now, Mary is, no question, the most famous silent film actress of her day, but everybody is watching to see how she's going to make the transition from sound, or from silent film to sound. The actress in Mary is terrified of it. The producer in Mary is very fascinated by this opportunity to kind of take the technology of filmmaking to a whole new level. The first film that she makes in sound is called Coquette, and although it's not necessarily critically very well received, she does win an Oscar for it. So she becomes the first woman to win a Best Actress Oscar for a sound film. Mary's career at that point begins to decline. Although she wins an Oscar for Coquette, she doesn't necessarily make the transition into sound films as successfully as some others do. And really, sound film is what introduces a whole new crop of American actresses to the public. So at this point, Mary, I think, gracefully bows out of the Hollywood industry and becomes sort of a socialite in Hollywood and sort of a player behind the scenes. She's one of the founding members of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. She's still a managing member of United Artists. And her clout carries the day in Hollywood at this point. But in terms of being an actress, she begins to gracefully exit stage left and becomes a bit of a recluse in her home in Hollywood. She goes on to live a long life. She dies in 1979 at the age of 87. But her Hollywood career, for all practical purposes, ends at the end of the silent film age.
And how does Mary influence you today in your own life?
Well, it's interesting, you know, working in museums, a lot of time, and I'm in exhibits in museums, so a lot of times I will do exhibits on these characters, in particular women, that have these really amazing stories to tell. And the challenge is that you lose yourself in the particular story of the characters that you're telling, and you forget that you yourself have a story to tell as a 21st century American woman. And I struggle with that a little bit in exhibit design, because I tell all these stories about these other women or other historical characters, and I think it can be hard to realize that you yourself are still a significant player in the making of history. And Mary Pickford, I think, struggled with a lot of those same issues. She makes this craft playing other characters on stage and on film, and is constantly trying to break out of that mold and to tell new stories and push herself and push the technology and tackle new roles that maybe her audiences might not want her to tackle, but yet she feels like she has something to bring to that particular role. And she's just constantly battling what she thinks is expected of her with what she wants to do herself as an artist. And I think for a lot of women working in museums, a lot of women studying characters from history, there's a tendency to not value what we ourselves have to bring to the field as the modern women that we are. We look at these historic characters and we rattle off their names as if we are not ultimately ourselves going to become part of that list. And that's what I find very interesting about Mary, is that she really fought not only to be an actress that brings the stories of other women to the screen, but to blaze her own trail along the way. And ultimately, she lands herself as a character that a modern actress would be well challenged to try to tackle. She very much is an active protagonist in the creation of her own story.
Let's go ahead and wrap it up with a book recommendation. What is it that you recommend to listeners so they can start learning more about her?
Well, I would recommend, there is a biography out there. It's by Eileen Whitford. It was published in 1997, and it's called Pickford, The Woman Who Made Hollywood. However, I would also point people who are interested in learning a little bit more about Mary Pickford to a PBS documentary. It's an American Experience piece that was produced on Mary Pickford. It aired in 2005. It is broken up into chapters and available on YouTube. And I would highly recommend it, because my thing with Mary Pickford is, in order to really understand what made her magical, you've got to watch her act. And so to read a book about her would be very informative and very interesting, and Eileen Whitford's piece is very well done. But the magic of that American Experience piece is that you get to see Mary Pickford in motion, and you will understand why she was such a star. When you start seeing these clips of her, even in silent film, her eyes, her hair, her expressions, the physicality of the way that she acts, when you start seeing pictures of her together with Douglas Fairbanks and footage of them on the World War I Liberty Bond tours, you understand immediately, without words, why she was such a star.
Well, there you have it for Mary Pickford. Eloise, thank you so much for sharing her story with us.
My pleasure.
To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
Here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few, her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten. Her story not forgotten.